Hey, Dog Speak Geeks, do you know that we offer virtual lessons? You can sign up at any time through info@dogspeak101.com. Also, don't miss out on our dog communication seminar on demand or one of our live seminars in Middle Tennessee. We would love to assist you with any and all problems that you have, so give us a call, set up your session today. Hey, Dog Speak Geeks. I hope you're having a wonderful week so far. I know it's only Tuesday, but you can do this. You can hang in there. You can hang in there like a hair in a biscuit. Yes, I am Southern. And that saying has been coming up quite a bit lately. Don't know exactly why, but it has. Let's see, a couple announcements. Same announcements that I have had the last few weeks. Our Herbal Dog event in Nashville is coming up in just over a week. If you've not gotten your tickets and you're local, you're going to want to sign up for this. For $65, you're going to get a book. You're going to get a talk with Rita. You're going to get a mini webinar. You're going to get hands-on for dog communication. And of course, you can get that book signed by Rita. And we're having it at Urban Dog Bar. And if you want to bring your dog to Urban Dog Bar and let them play while you are learning, you can do that because the price includes that. There are a few things you have to do as far as uploading your dog's vaccination records and things, but hey, it is worth it. I took Willow for the first time on, Friday, I believe, and it was a great time. She was nervous and unsure, but she did a really good job, and we had a really nice time. So I am looking forward to taking her back sometime this week. Hopefully it's going to cool off a little bit because it truly is just way hot. And that is a really good segue going into the episode for this week. Over the weekend, we had our honeybee festival here in our small little town. And it's really cute. But even at 10:30 a.m., it was already feeling like almost 100 degrees. And there was not any shade. I mean, just not any shade where it was. And I saw many people bring their dogs. And I cringed. And I wanted to tell them they needed to take those dogs home because it was too hot. It was too crowded. The concrete's hot. The asphalt's hot. Even the grassy areas, it's just hot. And it's just not appropriate. And so I know that we get tired of our dogs being at home. Our dogs get tired of being at home. They want adventure. You have a dog so you can go do things with them. But it's just miserable right now. So I want to talk about what it's going to look like coming up, right? Because the end of summer, we're finally going to start having some cooler weather. You got football season coming up. You got outdoor festivals. There may be some tailgates happening, you know, and this could just be for your kids' football game. And you may want to take your dog. Maybe you want to take your dog to, you know, your kid's soccer game. These are all things that could be doable, but we have to make sure that we're doing it correctly, that our dog is set up for success, and that it's an appropriate environment for our dog. And I think we don't think about it. Right? We don't think about, is our dog going to be okay with this? Is our dog going to be comfortable with this? Or are we just forcing our dog into doing something that they're not that thrilled about? Let's be real. It can be very overwhelming. When you're doing something like a festival, you're going to have a lot of people. Oftentimes, these festivals are not large, so you don't have a ton of space, right? At the bee festival, we had, you know, booths were set up side by side by side by side. And the way that the area was set up, it was not a lot of room. And so even having dogs walking through there, it's just kind of setting it up for probably disappointment as a dog owner on how your dog may behave. And so we want to take in consideration when we're looking at an event with our dog is what type of noises do we think we're going to hear at this event, right? Is this an event where there's going to be loud music playing? Is there an area that has just a kid zone to where it's going to be overwhelmingly obnoxious, you know, with kids screaming and maybe even unpredictable screaming? Do you have a lot of kids that are there and they're miserable because maybe there's an event that there's not a lot of kid activities, and so you get kids who get tired, they get bored, maybe it's still hot, and they get grumpy, and there's a lot of screaming and a lot of yelling, and it's just tensions run high. You also have to consider, is there going to be food there? Are people going to be sitting down with their food? Will there be kids walking by carrying their ice cream cone or their snow cone? What about strangers? Right? Are you going somewhere where people might inundate your dog with attention? Right? Are you going somewhere where people are going to, you know, not want your dog near their booth or near their things? What type of excitement does the environment give you? And then, of course, you have to consider there are going to be possibly other dogs. Now, I'm not talking about events that are specific to dogs. Every fall, we have a big event in Nashville that's all about dogs. It's just, it's our Humane Society puts it on. There's a ton of vendors, a ton of dogs, ton of activity, and people want to take their dog. But I can tell you that when I have been there, I would say that probably a good 75% of the dogs should not be in attendance. They're nervous. They're reactive. They are uncomfortable in the environment. They're not prepared for the environment. You know, they go from having a very loving dog guardian at home, and then they get out in this public space, and all of a sudden, their behavior is not what mom and dad are getting at home, and mom and dad start getting stressed. They start being not so nice to the dog. That's not a good time. That's not a good time for the owners, and it's not a good time for your dog. So we want to talk about what can we do to help our dogs prepare for this? What can you do to help your dog, you know, be okay in environments like this if it's appropriate for your dog to go? Not every dog is going to enjoy festivals. I know people that love festivals, and I know people that absolutely hate festivals because it's too many people, it's too many activities, it's too much stimulation. And if it's too much stimuli for a human that it's made for, then it's probably going to be too much stimulation for your dog. So when we think about what our dogs are going through at these events, I would say that one of the biggest challenge is going to be kind of the unpredictability of noises, unpredictability of people, unpredictability of other dogs. You're going to have a crowded space. Maybe people that just touch your dog, you know, do that walk by petting where they just reach out and pet the dog. Now, I don't have much of a problem with that because I have a Rottweiler, but I have seen a lot of people with golden retrievers, labs, you know, the friendly dogs that people, you know, would look at. And I don't mean that in any way, guys, don't come at me. I have a Rottweiler, I get it. But when people look at Rotties, I don't have a problem with a lot of people wanting to pet my Rottweiler unless they have owned Rottweilers in the past. Pitties are the same. Like, a lot of people are not going to pet pits unless they've had pits. And so when we have this, we have to watch people as they'll just do a flyby. They'll just walk by a dog and pet it and move on, never asking permission, not from the dog, not from the owner. That can be very startling for dogs. And even though your dog may not react, doesn't mean they're comfortable. This is one thing I really want you guys to get a hold of it. Just because you don't see this explosion of external behavior, that your dog is comfortable. Remember, we have our fight, flight, freeze. And then you have full compliance. Not going to talk about that one today. You can get into our trauma series and you can listen to that. But our fight, flight, freeze, a lot of dogs will get into that freeze. to where they just kind of like sit there and just make themselves as small as they can, hoping that they get ignored by people. But people just don't seem to respect the space of dogs. And as the owner, you need to be responsible on keeping your dog safe, keeping your dog's immediate environment safe. So that's really, really important. Not to even mention the out of control children that may be at these festivals, especially when they do have specific zones for kids. And if there's a ton of sugar, well, then again, we know that it's going to be pretty rough. There's also a big difference between taking your dog to activities like this, to festivals, to outings. There's a fine line between it being enrichment and being overstimulation. Right? So enrichment would be something that the dog would choose to do on their own. Sniffing, foraging, maybe playing with other dogs, chasing, I don't know, small children, chasing squirrels, chasing rabbits, chasing birds, whatever the case may be. There's a difference between enrichment and overstimulation. Just because you may find it enriching to go shopping at a outdoor festival, it may not be enriching to your dog. And it may literally be too much stimulation to where that dog's central nervous system cannot take in the information and store it where it needs to go. Therefore, they start running hot. I'm going to call it hot, to where the nervous system is just running constant and it's preparing itself for fight or flight, which means the cortisol is going to be released into the dog. Your adrenaline is going to be released. And this can really create some serious stress on your dog. Now, granted, there are some dogs that absolutely love the festivals, love going, love the people, but that is a small percentage. I'm going to be honest with you. It is a small percentage. And, you know, can we teach dogs to enjoy it? Possibly. But if the dog doesn't have the underlying desire to be in that type of a situation and that crowd, then you're going to have a struggle. And it's not fair that we force our dogs to do this because that's what we want. When you're taking your dog into these environments, it is important that you're able to read their body language. If you've not taken the communication seminar, I'm going to say this every podcast episode, you've got to take the communication seminar. You have to learn on how your dog uses body language to create distance from things that are nerve-wracking, to calm themselves, to avoid confrontation. And some of these signs are very subtle. Yawning, ignoring, doing something else. Like if I tell my dog to greet and I give them permission to greet somebody, and if they don't and that person's being too confrontational, maybe they're leaning forward, my dog may start to sniff the ground. That is not my dog ignoring that person because they're found something yummy to smell. No, they're doing that because that person is being confrontational by leaning forward, possibly sticking the hand out. And my dog finds that threatening. Therefore, we must use our calming signals to hopefully decrease the confrontation or conflict. So yawning, shaking off, avoidance, avoidance, avoidance. You know, it's whenever I see people, when give permission for their dog to say hi, or give somebody permission to say hi to their dog will clearly state if they're interested or not. And I have seen so many times when dogs are not interested, the owners still push them into saying hi, push them into being petted. It's like telling your kid to go give a stranger a hug. And if the kid's like, I don't want to give a stranger a hug, and you're forcing them to give them a hug, that's not appropriate. And it could be a stranger to your kid. You may have known this person for 30 years, but it may be a stranger to your kid. That's not appropriate. We've got to be respectful to how our dogs are feeling, and we have to be able to read those signs and realize that discomfort doesn't always mean reactivity. Discomfort doesn't always mean explosion. Discomfort doesn't always mean lunging, barking, growling. It can be very simple of head turns, quick licks, yawning, ignoring, doing something else. right? So that's really important that as an owner, you need to be responsible at seeing if your dog is uncomfortable and knowing how to get them out. So let's talk about some of the common struggles you might find at an event. And this is minus the heat aspect of it and those things, but it's just some behavior problems you might run into. And I say behavior problems, just some bad manners for the environment, right? It's like my kid may have good manners, but I take them to a 5-star restaurant and they don't know how to use an indoor voice. They have really good manners everywhere else, but they may not understand that environment. It's my job to help them be prepared for that. Set those expectations beforehand, help them learn, making sure that I have things that are enriching for them, because let's be real, any kid at a 5-star restaurant is going to be bored out of their mind. And they, you know, people that are in the 5-star restaurant don't want to hear your kid playing on the iPad, playing on the phone, playing drums with the silverware, right? Or banging the table. And so that's something that we really need to pay attention. If you have a dog who jumps on people when they're excited, that's not going to be appropriate, because excitement can come out even if the person that's being jumped on isn't even a part of it, right? I've seen people standing there totally ignoring a dog and just out of the blue get jumped on by a dog because they were close enough by and the dog was excited. Or again, they're carrying something like, I don't know, a big turkey leg. If that's something that your dog is all about food and you know that they're going to hound people at food, you have to be aware of that. And it's your job to ensure your dog doesn't steal people's food or jump up in trying to steal people's food. So that's, you know, ensuring that they're not jumping up on the tables or jumping up on, the bar area, maybe at a food truck. Right, so again, we have to be responsible and be respectful. If your dog has any type of leash reactivity, and I don't care if that's excitement, fear, anxiety, fear aggression, any leash reactivity, your dog does not need to go to these festivals. If your dog cannot be on a leash and not walk perfectly, that's not what I'm saying, but if your dog cannot be controlled, then they don't need to go. And I don't mean controlled by the leash. I mean verbally have that communication to where the leash is there for protection of others, protection of your dog, safety, and because the law says so. But if your dog has any leash reactivity, these are not the places you need to be going with your dog. And if your dog has leash reactivity and you just decide to go anyway, could you just do me one solid and stop using the damn retractable lead? And also about the retractable lead, do not use retractable leads when you go to festivals. If you're taking your dog somewhere, I don't care how good they walk on a leash, do not use retractable leashes. They're dangerous and they're not appropriate for crowded spaces. Ditch that. Use a regular leash. Learn how to use a regular leash. Use a waist leash. But do not use retractable leads. And even on cool days, it may be 65, 70 degrees. That can still be too warm for your dog. Because also, if your dog is nervous, they're going to heat up. Right? They're going to heat up, which means overheating from excitement and then it just being hot outside can create a very dangerous situation for your dog. And then we've already talked about this, but I'm going to bring it up one more time, making sure that we're not misreading happy stress as fun, right? Because your dog can show stress signs in a way that looks like play or happiness, but what they're really doing is kind of staying on their toes and again, reacting in situations that don't require it. If your dog is darting back and forth on the leash, if your dog is, you know, sniffing everything and trying to pull you at places and doing this, that could be stressful for that dog. That dog is exhibiting stress and just trying to get through it. I'll see dogs when they're playing, they look like they're playing, but they're really just playing in order to keep from getting injured by the other dog that's trying to play with them. That's going to be a whole nother episode. I can't really get into that one. That's going to be a whole nother episode by itself. So what can we do prior to this? Well, first, you really do need to look at your dog. Have a conversation with them. Be like, buddy, do you even want to do these things? Do you even enjoy it? And if you don't know, you can start, but keeping a distance, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But, you know, you really need to know, does your dog actually want to do these things? Just because your dog wants to get in the car and go with you, they don't know where you're going. Maybe they just want to be with you. Right? Maybe go do something fun for them prior. But you can't overload them, because then they may not have anything left in the in their cup, and they won't be able to handle the environment. So what training can we do beforehand to help this? For me, I just think that place is one of the best ones that you can have. Place, you can use a blanket, a towel. I teach place as this is where you're going to hang out, and it's going to be a longer hang, and you're probably going to get something really yummy to chew on, but this is going to signal to you that we're going to be chilling out. And I think by having that, it's going to help the dog have the expectation of kind of sitting and chilling instead of wondering when we're going to get up, when we're going to move. Is this a short down? Is this going to be a long down? But if we have that place, we can set that expectation that this is what we're going to be doing. So if you're going to an outdoor movie, maybe, you know, outdoor concert, or, you know, it's just a place you want to go hang out for the day. Having this is very, very important, and it's very easy to practice. You can find videos on our YouTube page on how to teach that. You definitely want to make sure your dog pays attention to you and that you can get the focus and engagement when you need it. If you cannot get your dog's focus or any engagement in this environment, in that type of environment, you're not ready to take your dog in that environment. So you need to practice having that focus at home. Maybe do some pattern games. I like up and down to create some, you know, a little bit of grounding. But practice this to where your dog knows how to tune into you. And then you want to go practice this in places that are not as distracting as said festival. And then hopes that it really pays off in the festival. But if you've not practiced it at all, then probably going to the festival is not appropriate for your dog. You want to be sure if your dog doesn't have any, if your dog doesn't have automatic leave it, you need to have a good solid leave it. Now, here's the problem with not having an automatic leave it and having to say leave it at a festival. You won't be able to talk to anybody else because you're going to probably be telling your dog to leave it every other step. Why? Because there's food dropped, there's pee, there's other smells from people's shoes. There's probably been wild animals in there. The smells are going to be overwhelming, but also just the dropped food and dropped items on the ground can be dangerous. It can be dangerous for your dog. So if you don't want to have to say leave it 88 times, you need to teach an automatic leave it. We also have a video on our YouTube page on that. I like automatic leave it. And what I mean by that is my dog learns to leave things on the ground unless given permission. And it's something I will set up and practice. And it's just about teaching them to walk past things that are interesting, right? I think we have one on TikTok that I put with our puppy Sunny that we're working with, doing an automatic leave it. And you can watch to see how we worked on that. Because I don't, when I'm at a festival, especially if it's got some really good booths and I want to shop, I don't want to have to tell my dog leave it. I mean, if I have to every so often, sure, that's fine. But I don't have to say leave it every other step because of the things that are on the ground. You want to make sure that you're packing the essentials. I have a little backpack that I carry for Willow, and it's going to have a water bowl, water, whatever placemat I'm going to use. Hopefully, if it's warm, I might take a cooling mat. I'm going to make sure I bring her something that she can chew on that's going to last some time. Sometimes I'll bring a toy. I don't have to do that very often with her. But the biggest is making sure that I do have what I know she's going to need, and I don't want to have to look for it. Like, I don't have to search for water. A lot of the festivals will have water out for dogs. But again, I had a Rottie who did not want to drink after other dogs. And it can get really, you know, slobbery, gross. So I really recommend you bring your own bowl, your own water. Even if you have, if you can pack some shade. If you're going to be somewhere, maybe listening to a band, and it's during the day, if you're able to bring some shade, that's great. Even if it's a small thing that they will use for babies, right? You have these little kind of outdoor mats that babies lay on, but then there's a shade over top, right? Now, depending on the size of your dog, that may be something that's going to be very useful for you to keep your dog cooled off. And then I do like to make sure that the dog gets a little bit of enrichment, maybe a little exercise prior to the vent, but not overboard. I see so many times people will go and wear their dog out before taking them to an event, wear them out before having company over, wearing them out before whatever. And what ends up happening is your dog's cup gets too full. Therefore, you try to put them in a new environment or a high stimulating environment. Your dog's cup is going to runneth over, which means you're going to get reactivity or you're going to get shutdown mode and the stress that that causes your dog. We do not want that. We do not want that. So you can give a little bit of exercise, maybe about 5 to 10 minutes of a play, maybe a good 10, 15 minute sniffy walk. I prefer enrichment instead of exercise. Nothing real hard. Nothing that is overwhelming, because we all know it's very different to be in a calm state versus I'm too tired. Because if you're too tired, your fuse is much shorter. So during the event, if you can find places, if you're going to be sitting outside, find places that are maybe shaded, a distance away from like those loudspeakers. I would try to keep space from the kids and even possibly other dogs. And it may be your dog is great with other dogs, but they still may not want to be in that close proximity of having to kind of stay on their toes. You'll want to make sure that you do some regular sniffy walks to where you're taking the dog out of the area to a calmer place for a quick sniffy. And that's going to help with, you know, reducing that stress. And then if you have maybe a cooler and you've taken maybe a frozen topple, a frozen lick mat, those are also really good ways to help calm your dog's nervous system. I would definitely use my treats. I'm not going to bribe my dog with them, but I do want to make sure I'm rewarding my dog for appropriate behavior. I don't expect perfection, especially if it's new to the dog. I'm going to definitely take my rewards, and I'm going to start right outside the festival. I'm not just going to walk in and get on in there in the center of everything. I want to start on the outside, right? Maybe you start in the parking lot, and you just kind of hang out with your dog. Let your dog sniff. Let your dog tell you when they're comfortable and ready to move closer to the high-stimulating environment instead of just walking them in. Right? And as you move closer, you just slow down, give your dog a chance to acclimate. And then once your dog starts to get more comfortable, you can get a little bit closer to all of those crazy, unpredictable things in that crowded area. But always make sure that you're giving your dog agency and control. If your dog is saying they don't want to move forward somewhere, don't force that. You need to respect that. Find another way around. Maybe give your dog a little sniffy time. Maybe they just need a little decompression before walking in a more crowded space. Look for those signs. And if your dog starts getting, you know, really overwhelmed, you need to be prepared to leave. You need to be prepared to take your dog home. All right, so always have an exit strategy. Wherever you are setting up, whatever you're doing, always have an exit strategy to when your dog is having a problem, you know what the plan is. I don't want you to get in the middle of it and go, oh shit, what do I do now? No, you need to have a plan. And if that means looking at the map prior to the festival, prior to even going, seeing how it's laid out, plan where you're going to park, plan where you're doing sniffy walks, plan where you're going to hang out, where your exit strategy is, right? Be prepared in those moments. Also, make sure that your dog gets a good potty break away from everybody. That's really important so that we're not getting in the middle of all these people and your dog is peeing and pooping everywhere. And if you have a male dog and they like to mark, do not let them mark on people's items. Don't let them mark on the booths or the tents. Right? If you're shopping and your dog's sitting there sniffing something and lifts his leg and pees on somebody's, you know, merchandise, that's not appropriate. Even if it's a dog item, it's not appropriate. If you cannot control that and you have a boy dog and he likes to mark everything, put a belly band on him. Put a belly band on him while he's inside the festival area. And then whenever he needs to go pee, you can take the belly band off, take him away, and let him find places to mark so that he can get that out of his system. But don't let your dog be marking along the areas where the humans are. Now, afterwards, you have to make sure your dog is going to recover appropriately. Okay, if it's been crazy, and you may need this too, you need to find a way to get some decompression. That might be a really good nap in a quiet area. Maybe that is just hanging out in the car in the air condition with you and just kind of chilling before going to the next event, or whatever it might look like for you. But you've got to make sure that you are allowing your dog to decompress. If that's a slow sniffy walk, if that's staying in one spot and sniffing for 10 minutes, and that's what it is. All right? If it's doing a little scatter where you're scattering some food across some grass and letting your dog, sniff that out, that might be it too. But don't plan things back to back, right? Don't take your dog to the dog park in the morning and then head over to the festival and then go meet friends afterwards on a patio with your dog. That is way too much. That is too much for your dog. It may not be too much for you, but that is way too much for your dog. You need to be prepared to say, my dog is not comfortable with this. I need to take him home and I'll meet you guys later, or we're just going to go home for the night. That's stress stacking, right? That stress that the dog gets, it starts to stack up, where individually doing those things are fine. But when you put them back to back to back, your dog can absolutely be overwhelmed. And then the next time you try to go out and have fun, your dog's going to be like, no, because last time you kept me out too long, I'm not really enjoying this. And then they're going to be nervous about doing anything with you. So don't do too many outings in a row. These gatherings can be fun, but not all gatherings are meant for your dog. Please be aware of the temperature. Be aware of asphalt. Be aware of the temperature of asphalt. Be aware of it's in the sun, full sun, instead of being any shade. If there's going to be multiple bands around, if there's going to be loud music, if it's a, fireworks show later, or they're going to have a, a gun salute for something. I don't know. Just be prepared, and you need to see what it's about. Not every dog is suited for crowded areas, and especially your herding breeds. Many herding breeds do not do well in these environments. It's too much to handle. It's too much chaos. Their little brain is like, I'm supposed to control this. And I'm trying to control it, but I can't. And then I'm frustrated. And now I've got this barrier and on this leash, and I can't get to what I need to do, but my genetics are telling me I need to do it. And now I'm getting frustrated, and I'm going to boil over. And over time, we have a dog who's reactive because you are not seeing the signs prior. Be prepared. Be aware. Keep your head on a swivel. You're in charge of your dog's safety. You're in charge of ensuring that people do not disrespect your dog. You're in charge of making sure your dog is feeling comfortable. If you start to recognize stress signals, you need to make sure you get your dog out of there. It is so important. Otherwise, our dogs are not going to trust us. I want, when my dog is feeling uncomfortable, I want her to come to me and look at me and be like, I need help. And that's the kind of relationship I'm building with her. When she's not sure, she comes to me. When we went to Urban Dog Bar, we went in and she immediately, that tail was tucked. Of course, the dogs wanted to see her. There was a really big wolf hybrid there. Gorgeous. But he was really interested in her and she was not comfortable. And so I reassured her. I interrupted the dogs that were up in her grill and were not being respectful. Even though they have referees to do it, I stepped in to do it because it's my dog. Even though they do a great job, I want her to know I've got her back. And then I just helped her walk. And we walked through the yard and I walked with her. And I spent the first 20 minutes being by her side, ensuring that she was comfortable, helping her navigate the situation, helping her deal with these dogs because she's not dealt with many new dogs. And the ones that she has, they've not been that respectful. So I wanted to ensure she had a good experience and that I was there with her every little step of the way. And, you know, it was probably 20 or 30 minutes and I finally was able to kind of sit down and say, okay, now I'm going to get me something to drink. I'm going to get me some food. I got some work to do. Now you can go and do your thing. And she would still stay with me and check with me. And slowly she'd get away and kind of play with the hose or go drink some water. But I spent the first at least 20 minutes being there for her and helping her navigate this situation. So that she knows that if she is unsure about something, she can come to mama and I am going to help her. I always have her back. She can always count on me and she's always going to know what version of me that she gets, which is the consistent version, the upper management, the tour guide, the one that knows all and that will absolutely keep her safe. So just remember, your dog may not enjoy it. You can try it by just starting at a distance, right? Find a festival and just kind of hang out. Go find a little bench, take you a chair, and sit outside the festival and just let your dog take it in. Watching the world go by, this is a great way to start to see if your dog is comfortable doing something like that. So I hope this helps a little bit. You know, and if you are doing things like soccer games, football games, baseball games, those may not be appropriate for your dog. One, especially if your dog loves balls, do not. Number two, if you know there's going to be a lot of kids running around, because a lot of these games, you have kids that are playing outside of the arena, field, whatever it is, and they're running by and they're just loud and they're scary and they're unpredictable, that also may not be an appropriate place for your dog. And I hope this helps. I hope this helps. If you have any really good stories to tell me about your adventures, send them to me. If you have a podcast episode idea, send it to me. I would love to hear from you guys. We'd love to hear from our listeners. Do me a solid, because this is the way we're going to reach more listeners. Please rate and review wherever you listen to this podcast. Please share with your family, your friends, your rescue groups, your breed groups, your friend groups, your meetup groups, whatever it is. Please share. We would love to have some, be able to help other people. Understand that there's a positive way to create a real relationship with your dog to where you can have that dog that is your ride or die. And it really is a beautiful, beautiful thing, I'm telling you. I've missed having that. Myers, unfortunately, just was not, he didn't connect with me the way that I wanted. But Willow, she and I are really, we're really connected. And it's really a fun thing. And seeing her kind of blossom and improve as she was at Urban Dog Bar, it was just really nice. And we got compliments. And she's just she's an adolescent, but she was still got compliments of being such a good girl and a sweet girl. And I was a proud mama. And it wasn't about obedience training. It wasn't a constant commands. I would tell her if she needed to, redirect herself. But lots of praise and acknowledgement and guidance from me. And that's what I want people to see. And that's what I want you to do for your dog. Be your dog's guidance. be their upper management and tour guide, and be their rock. Be their rock. Also, be sure you check out our online courses. We have some really good online courses. Go subscribe over to YouTube. If you are on TikTok, please find us, DogSpeak, and follow us. And yeah, that's all that good thing. Sign up for our newsletter. Do all those wonderful things. Love you guys. I appreciate you so very much. And I hope to see some of you at the Herbal Dog event with Rita Hogan on August the 28th in Nashville, Tennessee at Urban Dog Bar. Or maybe you just come to Urban Dog Bar and I'll run into you one day here in Nashville. All right, I hope you guys have a wonderful rest of your week.